One are the corny jokes. I think I've mentioned this a couple of times. Like, if it's Monday, don't walk by me and say, is it Friday yet? I hate the cliche corny jokes like that. You working hard or you hardly working today? you know, I can't stand
the chit chat in general. Yeah.
Well, that's not even small. That's just like in passing. Like, is it Friday yet? No, it's not. Actually, it's Monday. Yeah, nowhere near Friday.
What up, what up, what up, what up? It's Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast. I am Tavares Ferguson, a.k.a. Ferg, joined with my co-host, Buff and Rizzy. Fellas, you know what to do.
Okay. Hear me out. So last week, man, I had this dream, and I just want to say ahead of time, I have not been listening to their music recently. I haven't been watching any of their interviews or anything. There was no reason for them to be in my dream. But in this dream, I'm outside in the parking lot. I think y'all might have been there. I know Sherman was there. Wendell was there. We just outside hanging out. And it was a parking lot across from the old Roger Williams projects. And we out there chilling. It's like a couple of cars there with the doors open. We playing music. And Boosie is there. And we janking and shit for a minute. And then I say something that apparently he doesn't like. And he...
Did you call him gay?
No, I didn't. I don't know. But he started chasing me with his pistol. He was ready to shoot me, man. And I immediately got pissed because I had left my weapon in the car. So I'm like running around the car like Day Day on next Friday. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yo, you was joining on me. I joined back at you. Know who came to my rescue? Not none of y'all, by the way.
My bad. I wasn't there. You probably didn't invite me.
It was Roger Williams, so I probably wasn't there either.
T.I.K. He had his heat and he was like, yo, nephew, you need to chill. You need to chill, homeboy. You need to chill, man. And he calmed the situation down. That has nothing to do with anything. I just thought that was weird as f***. And I was telling somebody, and they was like, well, didn't T.I. and Boosie have like a little beef over the whole T.I. snitched? And I was like, huh, maybe. We've been critical of Boosie, so maybe if he heard this show, he would be pissed. I don't know. But I just wanted to put that out there to throw some weirdness out there.
So you beefing with Boosie in your dreams?
Yeah, apparently. But it didn't start off as beef. Like, we was cool. But the joking was going back and forth, and he ain't like my joke.
Do you want to take this time to apologize to Boosie for going a little too far?
Before somebody tag him in it?
In your dreams?
No. I have, as critical as I am about Boosie, I heard he's about that life. So, no, I'm good.
Let's apologize. You just never know. Hey, Boosie, if you listening, we weren't there.
But hey, y'all might have been. I don't remember that, bro.
Oh, now you don't know.
I flew to Vegas with OTM Jam, which is his newest artist or whatever. I got his number, so I can call OTM right now. And we can get this thing started. We can let Boosie know. You know, it is. We gonna set this shit off.
Whoa. What are you talking about?
Boosie.
That's Rising.
Your interviews are entertaining. I'll say that much. But going from dreams to nightmares, last night's Republican debate.
I decided not to watch it. I was in the
head. You did yourself a favor.
I was in the headspace.
And look, this isn't the first Republican debate I've watched. I've watched many. But this may have been the worst one that I can remember. It was pretty
bad. Why, Byron? Why?
The moderators couldn't control them. They had these corny, rehearsed, obvious one-liners. Mike Pence talking about sleeping with his wife. Like, what are we doing, bro? Like, it was bad. It was bad. I don't think any of them did any favors. If you had to pick a winner, I felt like Nikki Haley, I guess, won. And I guess so did 45, because he wound up kind of attacking her in an email blast. I do think DeSantis kind of bounced back from his last debate performance, but that's a low bar because he did so awful in the first one. He had no place to go but up. I think Vivek may have taken a step back. I don't think he was ready for the onslaught he was getting because they went at him this time. So he actually may stay where he is or even drop a point. Christie did a little better. The other guy needs to drop out from North Dakota. And who am I leaving out?
Tim Scott.
Tim. Well, I can't. You know, he's a senator. I can't speak on him. But yeah. So.
Well, I can. Because he disappointed me when he said that America is not a racist country. He basically went back to the old Republican pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and we are post-racial society. And he pissed me off.
He didn't say all that, Ryzen.
No, he did. He did. He literally said that America is not a racist society, and that, you know, black people back then had some problems, but we are past those. It was like watching Chappelle and when he was the black guy and the white power. Like it was that bad. Like. And I know, and I've heard Tim Scott speak, and I understand that he actually is black. I mean, he's black, and he knows what black people deal with. And so that's really what hurt my heart when he came with those, because he really kind of like has in the past said that black people have to deal with these things. And then he gets on that stage and it's like, we're not a racist country anymore.
See, your problem, Rizzy, is you want him to be right. We've already had that discussion.
He's trying to be effective. I get it. He's trying to get that vice president nod, because ain't now one of them on that stage getting the presidential nod for the Republican nominee. They are fighting for second place and they pretty much know it. I mean, we'll see. I think we're a month away from Ohio?
Oh, you mean Iowa?
We're about a month away from Iowa caucus.
Move it up? I thought it was in. I think it's in January. Or did they move it up?
Is it in January? I thought they were more in November. It might be in January. Yeah. If we've got a little bit more time, I don't think it's going to change anything. But ultimately, I mean, if Trump doesn't lose some support by Iowa, I mean, it's over for everybody else. They might as well. Just
I mean, he has too large of a lead. Losing support does. I mean. He would have to lose his whole base. And I don't think nothing I've seen in the past 8+ years shows me that there's anything he could possibly do. I mean, outside of almost stage a coup, which would never happen, where he would lose support.
Yeah. And with that, Buff, you talked about Vivek taking a step back. I don't think Vivek cares if he takes a step back. Vivek, get off of Trump's nuts. But what he's doing is he's setting himself up to be Trump's VP pick. I mean, he actually is a very good VP pick for Trump. If you listen to his rhetoric, he is basically Trump's talking points all over again. He's basically setting himself up to be the next generation of Trump and everything. So Trump gets the nod. He comes in as the VP. And then, you know, he's ready for the next cycle or whatever after Trump to be able to run. He's smart. I mean, he's setting himself up really, really well.
This is my last thing I'm going to say about this, and we'll move on. Vivek would have did what Pence didn't do.
Yep, he definitely would have. Mm.
And I think that's where he's trying to stake his flag. Just saying, hey, I got you. Regardless.
Yep. Yep.
Did anybody go after, I mean, Trump has some legal problems. That did that not come up at all last night?
No, they just criticized him for not being at the debate. Mm-hmm. So the whole hang Mike Milley, General Milley, I mean, that didn't get mentioned not once. Nope.
I mean, and that's the moderator's fault for that. I mean, but it was on Fox Business, right? You knew that they are gonna pull their punches. They're not gonna try to set anybody up. They're not gonna talk about any of that. So none of his legal troubles came up. Like you say, the him talking about hanging a general, right? Like somebody that served our country, that was his defense secretary, right? At mm-hmm. one point, and he's talking about he needs to be hanged now. That's huge, right? And kind of going along with what he's saying is happening to him about this witch hunt and all of that stuff is exactly what he's trying to do with what he's saying, what he's telling his supporters to do. I mean, it's January 6th all over again with exciting people to violence. So it's crazy. But on a happier note, we know a celebrity because we have had our homegirl, LaShondra Holmes, on the show. And now, aka Bird, for everybody listening that knows her. But she's been on the show, and now she is on a brand new show on Hulu called Love and Fair Hope. So if you guys get a chance, go check that out. It just dropped on Wednesday. I haven't had a chance to watch it. I'm going to watch it over the weekend. So, Bird, I got you. We're going to be all in there, tuned in. So we'll give some reviews and everything next week. But other than that, man, good job just getting on the show. That is huge to be able to say we know a reality star, like, personally and are close with them. Not just like, hey, we know of them. Like, we went to high school with them. We had her on the show. We talked to her. It's pretty dope. Feels pretty good.
Yeah, congratulations, Bird. Very interested to see where this goes, you know? So yeah. Keep doing your thing.
Yeah. And other shows that's on right now, man, I don't know if you guys have seen Swagger. I put it in the group chat, but Swagger on Apple TV, it's loosely based on Kevin Durant's life growing up. It is dope. It is really, really good. I mean, it's two seasons on it right now, and I literally found myself in tears on almost every episode. It's like that good. So if you have Apple TV Plus or you want to bootleg it, one or the other, but either way, go out, check that out, man. It's a really, really good pro-black series. So it tackles a lot of issues in our life. Child molestation, you know, young athletes, talks about black athletes, black lives matter, all of that. You know, parents in their life, parents not in their life. It deals with abusive parents. It is just a really, really good show, man. And I mean, like, I don't cry easily, but at the same time, it really did. It brought tears to my eyes almost every episode, man. So go check that out. And if you are ready for Loki comes back next week. So check that out on Disney Plus. That was a dope show. Your boy Jonathan Majors is in there. I know that's a, you know, he's not popular with everybody right now, but I'm still rocking with him until the actual trial and see what comes out of that. So I'm excited for it, man. Have y'all seen the previews for it? Looks pretty good. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
But that's all I got, man. I'll say that for the end of the show. So that's all I got.
I'll just say this. I was recording this on a Thursday night. Just want to once again shout out Beyonce. She has took over Houston last weekend. She took over New Orleans this week. I mean, it just seems like everywhere she goes, her following is just, it's personal opinions aside, it's just great to see so many people get to enjoy themselves and live freely and just, you know, be in a fantasy world within that whole Beyonce Beehive community. Like that Renaissance tour has people. I mean, I think that Renaissance is probably the closest thing the black community would ever get to cosplay. Like it was just that. So congrats, B, for having done whatever you've done to have people just feel your music and feel whatever you do that much. That's all I got.
Yeah. And also, I saw a post. People were trying to kind of down her, saying, oh, Beyonce's not that great. She just has a great production team around her and a great, you know, show team and a show manager and blah, 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 blah. There are plenty of people. You could put that same team around a lot of different people and they still wouldn't blow like Beyonce did. It takes a lot of work and energy and effort and drive to put in the hours that you'd put in to figure out the choreography, to figure out the music, to be able to sing the music, to be able to dance and sing at the same time, to be able to fly to one spot, hit a show, fly to another spot, do you know, all the in-person stuff, and then hit the show again that night. Like, it is work. And so my hat's off to her. Being an entertainer doesn't mean that you have to do everything yourself. And that is part of being at the top and being a part of the best, is being able to put the people around you that can be the best. So, you know, put the best people around you and go out and be great, man. So stop trying to do everything yourself. That's I think what I take away from Beyonce in all of this is lean on everybody else, lean into your strengths, and let and reach out and get help on the things that you aren't strong on. So then you can be great.
I just got annoyed by I saw a couple of people make a post. Am I the only one that doesn't like Beyonce? No, motherfucker. Nobody's liked by everybody. But you already know that. You just want to start a post to create your little hate post that, hey, look at me, I'm different. I'm one of the few people that don't like Beyonce. We get it. Okay? You get it. But I just hate when people make that post. You're never the only one. No. People do that with Game of Thrones. Am I the only one that hasn't watched Game of Thrones? No. Okay? No, you're not. But you already know that. I'm just amazed at some of the hate she gets sometimes. Like, even, I guess, Ferg in Houston, somebody got punched for messing up the mute challenge. And they were like, see how crazy they are over Beyonce? I'm like, oh, you mean something happened at her concert that happens at every football game every week? So we gonna put this all on her? Like, people are just crazy in general. That happens everywhere. So, but yeah, man, good. Echo everything you guys said.
I will say her fans are like regular fans, though. You got to give them that. Her fans are the closest fans. Like, you compare this to athletics, I think that's like, I've rarely seen people be that fanatical about artists like that. And it's not a bad thing.
I actually hear more people talk about how fanatical her fans are than I actually see fanatical fans. Like, always, like, when somebody says something about her, there's always that person saying, oh, the beehive gonna come for you. I never see the beehive. Not saying they don't exist, but I just hear it
has to be pretty bad for the beehive to actually activate. Like, and that's the thing. Like, you just saying something bad about Beyonce and you some random person on Facebook, the beehive ain't coming after you for that. Like, you're not important enough for the beehive to come out.
Now, the beef, not in full strength. The local beehive, your friends. If Buff makes a post about Beyonce today, all your contacts will have something to say. Let's call it what it is. Let's not say they are pretty adamant. But I mean, I
would need an example. I haven't seen that, and I never see that.
I'm not saying they're gonna cancel you or anything, like, but you're gonna get, oh, you just hate Beyonce, like, you're gonna get the pushback that. But it's funny because I compare it to almost like a multiverse. Like, this.
Have you met Tupac fans? say something about Tupac. I feel like all superstars have those type of fans.
That's gonna come to their defense, okay, or at least defend them.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. I mean, there's people out there that say people like, I don't know, J. Cole or like Kendrick are the GOATs or whatever, and they're gonna defend that to death.
Doja Cat just said that. Doja Cat said J. Cole is the GOAT.
So, you know, they're gonna defend that. So there's always somebody out there that's gonna defend it. It's just, yes, Beyonce has more that's gonna defend it.
I mean, this woman just outsold. I mean, I'm MJ. Just saying, this woman, not MJ, everybody. Throw whoever you want in there. So you can say Doja Cat fans, like, no. This motherfucker has outsold everybody who's ever recorded ever in life. Ever. Ever.
and she still has places to go. Ever. Mm-hmm. That's before she made it to Houston. Ever.
And I don't even think this is her top album.
Ever. Now, I think this might be her. This is her biggest tour,
but it's not her top album. It wasn't the best selling.
I think
album
this is going to be the pinnacle of her career, though. I don't see her next tour or anything after this being as big. If she does, then that she's freaking a goddess. Mm-hmm. Like I just, you're like, yeah, I did it bigger and badder than anybody else again. Let's run it back, you know. So, let's go ahead and jump into it. Is Sophie still up?
She is. She's got about 20 more minutes. So let me get this joke in. So, no, Sophie is asleep.
You getting no beauty rest?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So, oh wait, she woke up and got a joke. All right, let's see what she got.
I never let you guys have to deal with his horrible jokes. It's okay. Yeah,
thank you.
I'm here to save you guys.
You
did tell us you'd be here all week.
Yes.
Yeah, and that was earlier this week.
I would never lie to you guys.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So I ran here.
And you have a joke too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Is it a knock knock joke?
Huh?
Is it a knock knock joke?
No.
Okay.
Why was Cinderella so bad at soccer?
She lost her shoe, right?
Mm-mm. That was a good one, though.
Yeah.
Slipper.
Because you kept on running away from the ball.
That's good.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was good.
I would never lie to you guys. I'm here.
Come through, Sophie.
We're here for it.
Oh, that was good.
She woke up out of her sleep for that one. I was like,
as she should.
I was like, Sophie, you got it. She was like, I was like, you got your joke? She's like, no, because I fell asleep. I was like, well, go back to sleep then. She's like, all right. And then she just came in here like, woo, going. So
maybe she dreamt it.
I guess so. I've never heard that one. So yeah, maybe it came off the dome.
All right. Well, welcome back, Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast. It's that part of the show where we go into the questions, and you, if you're a first time listener, how we do it is when you hear the questions, we hear the questions. So it's a free for all. So who wants to go first?
I'll take it.
Okay.
We mentioned the debate at the top of the show. So for the second week in a row, I'm going to keep it a little political. I would say the biggest and loudest defender currently of Joe Biden is Governor Gavin Newsom. And there's been a lot of speculation on whether or not he's positioning himself to possibly run if President Biden steps down this year and he jumps in and decides to run for 2024, or if he's just setting himself up for 2028. Either way, he's making a lot of news. He is like going on all the talk shows. He even has a planned debate with Ron DeSantis, who is currently running for president. They're going to have a debate. So he's doing everything that makes it seem like he's running for president. But this is one of the questions I'm going to ask that I'm going to give you my answer actually on the front end. So as I'm talking about this to a few people, I'm the only one that thinks this as far as him running and possibly having a shot.
You're not the only one. Remember that.
I am. Of the people I talk to, they tell me, the people that I spoke to claim that because he's from California, that America would never, in a general election, get behind someone from such a liberal state like California. And my retort is, we elected a black man from Chicago that didn't even have an American name. So I think doing that, what Obama did, is much harder than someone coming from California. I know how the world views California and it's too liberal, but I think what Obama did, Chicago does not have a great name when it comes to politics. They're considered one of the dirtiest, one of the most
corrupted
places there is. He came from that. He's black and he doesn't have an American name, and he was able to win. So my question to you guys is, which one do you think is more difficult? Would would Gavin Newsom have a chance at becoming president in a general election, or would him being from California harm him more than Barack Obama being black and from Chicago?
I thought you would give your answer on the front end, but
I don't. I don't. I say I don't think. I don't. I think what Barack did was much harder.
Oh, okay. All right. I think in this political landscape that we're in right now, it probably is Gavin Newsom that's harder. And mainly because Chicago is a city and they all look at the inner city as this dirty, grimy place, yada, 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 right? Like, I don't think you had to look at him as a Chicagoan. And you got to think, Barack also had, he was in the Senate. So, you know, you've got that to be able to lean into too. You've got a voting record. You know what he's about. You know, he's got a platform for it that was a little, it was Democrat, right? He was liberal, but at the same time, he was able to kind of toe the line a little bit, go across the aisle a little. Like, they saw him play the game. Whereas Gavin, you look at that and he's playing in California the entire time, right? And it's super, super liberal. And so it's too easy to attack him on that and make him this very, very far left candidate. And when we talk about, it all comes down, especially in a presidential election, it all comes down to a few key states. And those key states don't want to see these super, super liberal policies either. Right, most of them don't really work in those areas. So if you're talking about a purple state, you got to be more towards the middle. Now, can he pivot towards the middle and work it all out on the campaign trail? Probably. His whiteness gives him that, right, where they may ignore that because he's white and got a nice smile, and he may be able to play the game. But those are really hard sticking attacking points that are really, really easy to get over in that purple state. So I do think he's going to have a harder time than, say, Barack Obama, because black people got behind Barack Obama automatically, right? They're not going to get behind Gavin Newsom. He's not going to energize a base just being from California. There is no middle ground that's like, oh, I'm swinging over there to him because he's from California. The liberals and the people that support him and his policies over in California are already on that side. And so there's no kind of, I hate to say redeeming quality, or there's no quality to get behind to say, yep, we're going to swing some votes to make it easy for him to become the president. So that I think he has a harder path than Barack Obama did.
So I will say this. I'm a little middle of the road on this. Hear me out first. I think what Barack did or had to overcome was harder for the time. It's all relative. Barack represented the America that Tim Scott spoke of last night. He represents America thinking they're in a post-racial society. He represented America thinking that we were better than what we really were. Now, when he got in office, we realized who we really were. So America's kind of like, you know what? I can get behind this. I can get behind this idea of how far we've come. Similar to what Rizzi said, on the other hand, do you want America to be California? He represents what a large majority of the base of America doesn't want America to be. People are probably more conservative than they give credit for. And so now he is as far, even without him saying anything, he's going to be painted as being as far left as you can be. It doesn't matter what he says. He is the poster child for the far left just because he's from California. The only way he could make it wouldn't be for this year, 2024, this election. He would have to kind of, his political career would have to shift. He would have to get into the Senate. He would have to do something where he would have to cooperate and reach across the aisle and make deals and stuff like that to show that he's willing to play the game. But in, like Rizzi said, in this political environment where it's so, and maybe I haven't followed politics enough, but I feel like these last few elections, a political divide has been so strong, stronger than I've ever seen it to be in our life, my lifetime, or noticed it. I think it doesn't matter if in any of his policies, as if that ever mattered, but it doesn't matter any of his policies, because you have people like Trump supporters and his base that show that they are adamant supporters of an ideal rather than, you know, policies or anything like that. And he represents the exact opposite of all the ideas and ideals of a large group of the population. And I just don't see it happening. He might be great. Who knows?
Barack, I look at it as Barack was the first president after Bush, who was the president for our Iraq and our war, not after, right after 9/11. And this country still had a healthy hatred for Muslims. Barack has what some consider a Muslim name. He's in a picture with a turban on. He went to a church where they, out of context, painted his pastor as Malcolm X. Like, I don't see why it's so unbelievable to think that a white man can overcome being from California. Like, I just don't. I think what Obama did was 10 times tougher than him having to just make a slight pivot, kind of like Clinton did, be tough on crime and all this kind of stuff like that. Like, people think Kamala has a shot. She's from California.
Yeah, but so, it's very different. Her role, right, as what was a state,
district attorney.
She was DA, but then she was a general.
He's the president.
He's a senator.
He's the president of California, so he's going to make America like California, and nobody wants that.
And you guys mentioned him being in the Senate. Being in the Senate is usually a knock against you because you have to vote on these bills that usually have a bunch of BS in them that people can tie to you. DC is the swamp. DC is corrupt. You know what I mean? So I just don't think it's far-fetched, but I'm clearly in the minority. We'll see what happens.
So we agree with all the other people that you're saying? I don't want to diminish what Barack did. I don't want to, and I'm not reading it like that.
I don't think you guys are the other people that I spoke. I don't think anybody's diminishing in it. Yeah.
I just think time, like, maybe if things settle down, I just think it's so hot right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like being a minority, even Muslim, pre 9/11 was different than being a Muslim or something right after 9/11. I feel like the political divide is almost like it's super toxic right now. Yeah. It's just like, it's, you know,
what I will say is, if you rewind Gavin Newsom back to 2012, whatever, before Obama ran, he probably would have a better chance than Barack. Barack is harder at that point. What I'm looking at is Barack then, Gavin Newsom now, and the environments that they're going through. And so the chances that they get the nod and they actually get through the general election and become president, I just feel like Newsom has a lower chance today based on the environment that you're talking about, Ferg. Versus
it's almost
Barack,
like,
back then, Barack had a better chance of getting through.
The fact that Trump can be president and has probably the best chance of anybody in the world to be the next president is the reason Newsom probably doesn't have a chance. It's just because it's like, it's so unbelievable that somebody this far, and I don't know if the base that he would need to get would be that supportive, you know, because I don't know what he can do, like, unless he's just the polar opposite of Trump and just is it and texts like, this dude is trash. Mm-hmm. If you want a real America, come to me. Forget where I'm from. You know, all that stuff. It'll be, think about who I am or what you want the country to be, rather than this, you know. And he would have to
be Barack Obama, a white Barack Obama from California. Like, that's the other part about it, right? Like, Gavin Newsom isn't Barack Obama. He's not that charismatic like that. Like, he doesn't have what Barack Obama had. So that's the other part about it, is I think we're looking at, you're looking at just the hurdles he had to cross, but I also, you got to look at the individual. And Barack Obama was a superstar in you know, everything when it comes to just the orator that he was, being able to get up in front of people, being as charismatic as he was. Gavin Newsom's not doing that. I'm not saying he's bad, but he's just not that. And so there's also that part of it where Barack might have had more obstacles, but he was able to do it because he's Barack Obama versus Gavin Newsom today.
We'll see what happens after the convention.
Yeah, I feel like
Obama became a superstar because of that 2004 convention.
Okay, I'll say this, and hopefully, you know, if he's the one, you know, if he's going against Trump, unfortunately, he has my vote.
By the way, I don't think he's the one.
If he goes against Trump, you're like, he has my vote. What I will say is, and as you say that, Rise, as you talked about who Barack was and what he represented and all the characteristics that he had, like, he was the perfect person for the perfect time. I think Barack was all about timing as well. There's nothing special about this guy. Like, I don't think he's the one. You know, people thought Barack was like he's not special enough.
Yeah, y'all think there's something special about Biden?
No. Hmm. I mean, he's not special enough to overcome the things, the reason you have this question, right? There's a reason you're asking this question. Like, he's from California, so therefore he's seen as a super liberal, so he's gonna have to be special to overcome that. And there's nothing, maybe, at the, you know, convention, he proves us wrong, but there's nothing special enough about him. He's not the chosen. He's not the great white hope. Like, and we don't know who that is.
And to be fair, he was recalled, even though he won. He was recalled, and he was the mayor of San Francisco before becoming governor. So that's two knocks. So mm-hmm. It ain't just California, but then you're from San Francisco.
Yeah.
So
yep.
So, you know, he's. Yeah, it's so many things that they will attack, even if that's not his beliefs.
I just think my final point, he's white, Barack was black. I don't see it as impossible. That's all. But good back and forth.
Yeah.
Good
back. All right. Ryzy, you want to go next?
Yeah, I'll go next. We'll probably catch up sometime because mine is probably going to be easy unless we like really start joking on it. But I want to know, you guys, pet peeve or peeves at work. Like, what just irks the shit out of you about being at work? So not necessarily about just your job. You can think back and, you know, oh, dude used to eat my food out of the break room, whatever. But, you know, what are some pet peeves about
coworkers or like with the
company, working for certain companies or with your coworkers, whatever. But what are some pet peeves that just gets under your skin at a job?
I'll just name three. One are the corny jokes. I think I've mentioned this a couple of times. Like, if it's Monday, don't walk by me and say, is it Friday yet? I hate the cliche corny jokes like that. You working hard or you hardly working today? you know, I can't stand
just small talk, the chit chat in general. Yeah.
that's not even small. That's just like in passing. Like, is it Friday yet? No, it's not. Actually, it's Monday. Yeah, nowhere near Friday. But I do also hate useless small talk. I hate it. I can't stand it. And my other thing is, if we're in the break room, if you got to blow your nose, step out. Like, I just don't want you blowing your nose at the table while I'm eating my food. I think that's gross. Those are like three of my pet peeves that I hate.
So if somebody sneezes, they gotta like get up and walk out of the break room to like get it all out.
Yeah. Yeah, I prefer that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's all about Byron, so.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't think that's gross? You wanna hear snap ejecting from somebody's nose while you eating your clam chowder?
I don't eat clam chowder, so.
You eat clam chowder at lunch?
No, it's an example.
Oh, I was just going to say, you probably do. You order it in, too, don't you? It had DoorDash coming to the Capitol.
No.
Fresh chowder.
That's pretty. I think it's pretty.
Do you get it in, like, what is it, in the sourdough bowl? Or is that, like, only on the West Coast?
I don't order clam chowder.
Just use that as an example.
If it's a one-off, like if you're known for being that guy, like if you're known for like Byron blows his nose every time before he eats, like that is his routine, then yeah. Like, no, you just sneeze real quick, like, oh, Lord. And you just have to blow your nose. Like, my God, I'm just feel so congested. That one-off don't bother me. Like, it is what it is. You on a break,
you just gonna blow your nose and go right back to eating, huh?
No, hopefully you wash your hands and stuff. So, I've been in.
And where do you have to go to wash your hands?
The restroom, the sink. I don't know. Hand sanitizer.
So you may as well get up and blow your nose.
Okay.
But I just gotta stay congested as I get up and walk away. Like that's a lot of congestion just sitting there in my nose.
But you know what?
How far is the door? 100 yards?
Like, I don't know. But you know what? I'll say this. I'm spoiled, so maybe it doesn't bother me as much. Because I haven't worked in a traditional office in so long that the little small idiosyncrasies of just the daily stuff doesn't bother me. Cause I'm by myself every day. I eat lunch by myself every day. I probably ate lunch by myself every day for the last 10 years, 9, 10 years. So I'm in sales. So I'm usually by myself. So mine are going to be a little different. Last minute meetings, like virtual meetings, like, I'm gonna need everybody to jump on a call today at about 12:30, and turn your cameras on.
Yeah. Oh man.
Man, the pandemic. So anybody that works from home, once the pandemic hit and everybody started having to turn their cameras on at the meetings, that just changed everything. That's all. You remember there was a whole time we just saw these memes of people looking crazy in their virtual meetings and forgetting to take, the rollers out their hair and all that stuff. That's one. Companies that really care about the customer more than their employees.
Mm.
Like they don't care how wrong a customer is. They will throw an employee under the bus. And I've been in those situations, whether it's an individual employee or an account that they value, and they just make you feel like, why am I here? Like if you hired me for a reason, you should trust my judgment and stuff like that. I understand to a certain extent the customer's all right, always right. I don't know where that came from, but I get it. You're in a business.
Yeah, it's not.
But
the customer's not always right.
But at the same time, it's, and that was a different day and age. And when I was in those areas, and it was more so now HR is more focused on, employee retention and stuff like that. But that used to irk me, especially when I worked for a rental car company. And it's like I went through hell and bend over backwards for a customer. Just for a customer to get a survey, and it's like, yeah, he was okay. If they were asking for a one out of five, and I got a four, I'm in trouble. So it was perfection. And last but not least, so the reply all emails that just don't have anything to do with me.
It's not even just like one person's reply. You like start getting
And I'm not even talking about like anything that's, if it's work related, if it's like,
I need to be in the loop because we're on a project and stuff like that, and you want to stay in the thread, you want to see the progress that's going on. But it's like, today's Rizzy's birthday, let's wish Rizzy a happy birthday. Happy birthday, Rizzy. Happy birthday, Rizzy. Happy birthday, Rizzy. It's 87 people on this post. And so when I look up and I have 72 freaking new emails in my inbox, what you doing today? What you got going on, man? You know, well, my birthday is next week. Like, how do we get here? Like, stop. Well, like, let's just stop. I hate those things. So, yeah, those are the things that bother me.
No, I was just thinking about this because we just had our employee appreciation week at my company, and you talk about Buff, the fake chit chat, like stuff like I it does. It irks me that, you know, people want to, that the little fake small talk, everything, like the same questions, right? How's the weather? How's the family been? This, that, up. It's like, you know, it's so annoying to me because it's like, what do you need from me? Like, you know, we don't have to be best friends. And I get it. Coming from HR, right? You want people to feel welcomed and enjoyed and everything. But there are coworkers that want to talk to me more than I talk to my family, but chit chat and everything. And it's like, I'm not that type of person that's going to sit there. I don't do that with my own family. So to sit there and chit chat with you and talk about the weather and the basketball game last night and this, that, and the other, it's just like, I'm here to do a job so I can get paid and go home. And so, you know, but with that being said, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not about a wholesome work culture and getting to know people and everything like that. It's just, sometimes it gets overwhelming when a lot of people want to talk to you or whatever. So that one is a big one. Ferg, you took mine with the reply all and just constantly getting beat up with that reply all. Is another pet peeve of mine. And the other one is the folks in the break room that like bring something and leave it in the refrigerator for a long time, and it like starts going bad and it like be icky and all of that. Like, that irks me to no end. I'm like, clean up behind yourself, get your stuff. You know, I get it, you brought it and you forgot about it, but I know you brought some more stuff and put it in that refrigerator. You saw that stuff that you were like, that's mine. And, you know, get it out of there, man. Don't just leave that in there. That irks me to no end because it's just like, you don't respect the office. You don't respect everybody else that's there. And as HR trying to get people back in the office, because that's what everybody's trying to push now. I mean, we got to fix that. So I don't care. I know some companies or some teams, they're like, look, Friday, we throwing everything away. You better, yeah, if it's there, oh well. So, you know, do something like that.
Including the Tupperware.
Including the Tupperware, yep. Like, if it's in there, we're throwing it away. So, you know, I'm down for that. But those folks who just leave it in there, that lets me know you don't clean up at your house.
No, and a caveat on that one is the people who, when they bring lunch and they put it in the microwave.
Oh, and it smells.
And it's something that just, they're just like, it's like day old fish. You know, it's just like, dog, you can't put salmon in like what? I don't even know what it is. It's been so long, but I just remember like, dog, what the hell is that? And it just starts floating around the office and you just start walking around like, who the hell? My God, Byron, what the hell? Oh, my, you know, Tad made okra soup. And,
they can't eat salmon.
No, I don't know if it was salmon, whatever it was, like certain things
they
that
can't, they can't get their protein in.
Well, it doesn't if it was salmon or whatever, doesn't reheat well in a microwave. That has the whole office stinking.
So it's all about you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, but I mean, it permeates the whole office. It has the whole. It's everybody else. They just sneeze in front of you, and then the moment's over. That shit lingers.
No, it makes me lose my appetite.
Okay, then don't warm up your salmon then. Alrighty, that was a good one, Rizzy. So mine is going to be a fairly... we're going to keep it as a lighthearted one. Let me see if I can find this post. Give me one second. Okay. It's going to be a shout out to Fred Maxey. He made a post today. Question of the day. You are able to have dinner / a round table with five people, dead or alive. Who would they be? Go. And I'm going to add a little thing to that. And who and why?
Tupac, because of how passionate he was about, you know, current and social events. Malcolm X, because I love his speeches, and I would have loved to just, you know, just pick his brain on a lot of different things. Bobby Womack, because I got a lot of damn questions. And for those of y'all that don't know, Bobby Womack, he was involved in some the dirtiest of dirty macking that there is. I mean, this man showed up to Sam Cooke's funeral after smashing his wife in his suit. And then as time passed, he wound up having sex with Sam Cooke's older daughter in a hotel. Bobby Womack was, yeah. So yeah, I just got questions. Ida B. Wells. And Ida B. Wells, because, you know, she looked at Booker T. I don't think she used the word Tom officially, but I'm pretty sure she called him a Tom here and there. And all the pictures I see of her are, it just, she just has this look on her face like she did not come to play. And you better be about your business or she gonna read you. So I definitely want to love to have a conversation with her. And Frederick Douglass, because he's just one of the great, you know, philosophers and everything when it comes to race and politics and social issues as well. So those are my five.
I like.
All right. So let me see. I'm going to see your Frederick Douglass and raise you a W.E.B. Du Bois. So I want to talk about the talented 10th. And so I want to figure out that thought process and what he thought and what he really meant behind that. I mean, we've got a lot of stuff, what he said and everything, but I really want to pick his brain on what he thought about the non-talented 10th. And that's really more so what I want to kind of figure out, is that flip side of it. He talks about that talented 10th and what they should be doing and pushing. But, you know, that other 90%, like that, how he felt about that. There's always this talk about how he felt like they weren't good enough and all this. And so I want to pick his brain on that. Along those lines, staying in that era, I would like to talk to Langston Hughes. So he's one that wrote some of the most beautiful but simple poems that you probably ever could think of. And so the artist in me, the creator in me, would probably want to pick his brain and just kind of talk through that and some of his ideas and everything. We're going to talk about Barack. Got to throw him on there. Just what he's gone through, how he got it, right? How he became the president, everything. Just sitting down and talking with him about that, the experiences, the having the weight of the world literally on your shoulders, and everything. So I want to talk that. I'm going to say Jay-Z, because of course, you know, I picked the dinner and not the $1 million or whatever it is, right? No, I'm just playing. But I do think Jay-Z, from a business acumen, from a social, like, standpoint, being a leader, being able to see the broad swath of what's going on, and being able to focus and drown out the noise. So that's a big deal, and that's hard to do the bigger you get. And so just want to pick his brain on there. And finally, probably Neil deGrasse Tyson. So, you know, just the super nerd in me, with him just knowing about everything, it seems like. So want to talk to him and just nerd out on astrophysics and you know, the world, the economy and all that stuff, and just nerd out on all that. So that's my five, man.
No Umar Johnson?
that's an honorable Dr. Umar to you. So good list, fellas. I didn't see a lot of those coming. So mine Were any of those shockers for either one of y'all? I think Tupac was, you know, Byron, I kind of saw that.
Yeah, yeah. I think I saw most of all those. Ida B. Wells was a little one that I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But yeah, I can see it.
I think for Rozzy, Langston Hughes.
I thought about him when I was thinking of mine, but it just, let me give you mine. And so first of all, this probably comes as a surprise. Marcus Garvey. Just because, like, to me, the movement he was trying to do was just so, like, profound. Like, he wasn't just trying to fit in. He's like, nigga, let's go. And so he was the first, you know, to me, one of the first, like, the creators of wokeness, mm-hmm. you know, like,
Pan-Africanism and all that. Yeah.
It was just one of the few people when I hear that early in the game who talked about really embracing who we were, getting back to what we were, and not necessarily trying to integrate into this world. I just want to pick his brain and, like, brother, where did that come from? How did you get here? How did you arrive at this theory? Like, you know, second is Stevie Wonder. Stevie Wonder is my favorite artist by far. I love everything about him. His just energy. And it always, when I say it out loud, people think it's a joke. Like, I want to talk to him and see how he sees the world. Like, it's like, he just seems like he has such a positive outlook. Like, his energy, how do you get that? And for somebody who's always thinking and who, you know, how do you see the world so beautifully? Like, I want that. I want that to spill over into me. Third would be, you said Barack. I'd rather sit down with Michelle.
Yeah.
Michelle, to me, is the most interesting woman in the world. I don't know what is about her. And I just have so much respect for who she is, how she carries herself through all of it. And, you know, she's always, to me, been, since the day we saw her, been just, like, astonishing. And just to watch her grow into herself and become, you know, what a lot of people call the forever first lady, right? You know, even though people have problems with Barack, it's hard for, I mean, I'm talking about the Black community, like, it's still hard for people to hate on Michelle. Like, if you're hating on Michelle, I feel like you're reaching, you know? I just want to hear, like, the challenges that she still faces as a Black woman to understand what she's going through and how she thinks, you know, what are the answers to, you know, help solve some of the problems that our women are having. Like, I would love to pick her brain and get her views on this. We share Tupac. For similar reasons, but I really want to know him. Like, he's such an astonishing character or person with all that he has been through. I started watching that, you know,
documentary,
Dear Mama.
Yeah.
And to understand him better, like, I became more interested in him and the way he thought. And I feel like he was battling something because he just had so much going on. And what were his real goals? He was young. You got to remember, he was young. You know, where did he see himself at 40? Where did he see himself at 50? Where did he see himself getting married? Like, what was his ultimate impact that he wanted in part of the world? It's like, I wish he had a diary. I wish he had this, like, we could have got his, you know, we heard his music, but I wish there was more information on who Tupac really was outside of the people that describe who Tupac really was. And it depends on who you ask, you get different things, you know. You get Thug Life, and you had this passionate Black leader who wanted to see Black people just be great. You know, you had this guy who was dealing with mama issues and daddy issues and all this stuff. So I would love to get to know him. And fifth is weird. You know, the fifth one would be, I would want Z there with me. Just because I think, to me, that would be one of the greatest moments of my life. And I would want her to experience that with me, because I can imagine leaving that table and going back like, dog. So when I was talking to Michelle, like, I couldn't explain that to anybody. and somebody I want to share the best moments of my life with, I want her to be there firsthand to see it, so we can always go back in that shared experience. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's hard to explain, you know, to be passionate about that. And I think that's something that we just both could, you know, just, you know, maybe she doesn't want to talk to Tupac or Marcus Garvey, but just to be there and to see the excitement and experience would be awesome.
No, I mean, that's one of the biggest signs of love, is to be able to look in your partner's face and see them joyful. Like, that in itself, man, it like elevates you. You like, I'm so happy that they're happy. Like, you ain't even gotta like whatever it is. And that's most times what relationships, like, happens with relationships, right? You do some junk that your spouse likes to do, and you're like, oh God, I hate this. I don't wanna do this. But just to see them light up, you know, when you take Z to an art museum or whatever, you might be in there like, damn, I don't wanna be here. But just seeing her light up and bubbly and walking around like, that. In itself, man, that shows how much you love her and how strong you guys' relationship is. So love to hear it.
Yeah. And because I asked a question, I get a little freedom. If I had a B list, it would be a couple of people like that close to me that that I've lost in the last couple of years. And just to be able to, as I get older, you recognize time that wasn't well spent. Right, to some, like, if I could go back and just find out a little more about my dad and my grandmother, and like just to sit down and get to know them better, because their experiences is things that they never told me, or the questions I never asked will never get to be asked or answered. And so, like, and that would be my dad, my mom's mom, my grandmother on my stepdad's side, and my grandmother on my dad's side, like my grandparents. Like, I would love to just go back and just, like, because they have so much of that history and that knowledge, and to understand how did they get here? Like, all the things that led up to their life for you to be possible. You know, the fact that your dad joined the Navy and was able to travel and was stationed in Gulfport. Right. That's how he met your mom. Mm-hmm. Like, if he would have got stationed, think about it, if he would have got stationed anywhere else in the world, that would have never happened. So just to hear his story and more about the Navy, like, those are the things that I would love if I had a chance, you know, if we're not talking about these glorious people, but the people closest to me, mm-hmm. you know, that would be my B list. Or not my secondary list. I wouldn't call it a B list. So with that being said, fellas, let's go ahead and close it on out.
I want to give Van Lathan, I guess, some props, because Larry Elder, who I guess technically is running for president also, but the Republican Party is kind of ignoring him. But he went on the Breakfast Club with Charlamagne, Teslin Figaro,
Charlamagne Gay,
and and DJ Envy, and he made. They were so inadequate, they made Larry Elder look good. Like, he walked away from that interview looking pretty good. Mm. So Van Lathan had him on his show a couple of days ago, and he did a better job than the three of them combined, as well as his co-host. So I just want to give him his props. His co-host wound up asking Larry Elder a question, because his whole thing is fatherlessness, and That's what he's building his campaign on. And she asked him, she was like, so what are you doing about fatherlessness in the Black community? He could not answer. He deflected. He tried to turn it around. He literally said, so you want me to answer a question that you don't even believe is a problem? Yes, Larry. That's how you convince people. She doesn't agree with it. That's why she's asking you. And you're supposed to tell her, you know, what you've done and why it's a problem. So I think they did a great job with him. I've never seen him that flustered. I haven't seen a lot of interviews of Larry Elder, but considering how he looked on The Breakfast Club versus this one, it's what you want. So if you were mad at The Breakfast Club interview, I encourage you to watch that one. And it also, I was discussing this with someone, and it just made me think of, like, real quick, do you guys know of any Black conservatives that are married to a black person? I came up with one.
Bert? I think I got one.
You got one?
I'm not quite sure if he's so, conservative, but I'm like, if he's, and by conservative, you mean like,
and it doesn't have to be a he. It could be a she.
I mean, they vote Republican. I'm not quite sure if this is what they vote, but I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. that makes all the sense in the world.
It's like you think about Clarence Thomas,
Colin Powell, you think
about Candace Owens. Colin Powell, his wife, was she? Well, first off, I don't know if he was conservative. I know he served in both of the Bush administrations.
He was a Republican, but I mean, so, you know, generally. So, okay. So we're not saying they're Republican is automatically conservative. You're saying like really right leaning conservative?
Yeah, no,
I don't know any of those.
only one I could think of is former Lieutenant Governor Michael Steele. Maryland. He's also the former chairman of the RNC. But he's even not, like, he's on MSNBC and he criticizes Trump. So I don't even know how conservative he is, but he was a Republican. Mm-hmm. He was a Republican.
Hold on. You can be conservative and criticize Trump. That means he's probably intelligent. let's not get him confused.
And look, that has nothing to do with anything. Someone just asked me and I was like, wait a minute. I was like, Dad. He's like, that's just kind of like, it seems like that's just the playbook. If you are a black conservative, you're married to a white woman. Because he pulled a Larry Elder's wife, and I was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. That's all I got, though. And y'all can ponder that some more, but.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to create a list. Because I'm trying to think of all my conservative friends. I got to see who they're married to and who they're dating.
Uh-huh. For me, man, all I got, man, is Haley turns 22 before we tape again. So happy birthday, Haley. Love you. Super proud of you. We're heading out to New York. She's never been to New York, so that's what she wanted for her birthday. So we're going to New York for her birthday. So we'll take a couple days up there, you know, do the whole Central Park. Maybe Statue of Liberty. I don't know. Whatever she wants to do. I told her I'm paying for this ticket in this hotel room. She got it from there. Or Allison, you can take care of it.
You got it.
No.
Your daddy got it, Haley.
It's on her. So we might hit a show. I mean, I might pay for a Broadway show or something.
See, here you go. But it's coming.
You know. Well, I'm taking the kids too. So I mean, if I'm paying for all three of us, I can't just not pay for her. So. But we'll see, man. But I'm super proud of you, and I just want you to know that. And keep doing what you're doing, keep growing, and you're making me proud. But keep making me proud. Love you, big girl.
Yeah, happy birthday to my favorite SGD. figured out. I don't have much. I mean, I'm happy to be here. Life is good. Just trying to relax. So. Let's go ahead and close it on out. Thank you to our listeners. Thank you to Contentville for giving us this platform to be able to voice our opinions and our thoughts and stuff like that. Look forward to continuing to work with you guys. So, Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast. Six Rules of Podcast. Listen, like, share, subscribe, comment, and most importantly, listen again. Talk to you next week.